Hello, Hospitalitarians. I'm your host, Kyle Allison, and welcome back to the Hospitality MD podcast. Today, it is my pleasure and privilege to welcome Kevin Scott to the show. He is the general manager of the Epicurean Hotel, an autograph collection by Marriott in Tampa, Florida. He's worked in rooms and sales positions in San Francisco, Seattle, and now most recently Tampa. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Kyle. Pleasure.
Absolutely. So for a lot of the people that I interview on this show, I reach out to them on LinkedIn. Maybe I know them a little bit, interacted with their content, and it's my first time really getting to know them. With Kevin specifically, I actually was able to visit him at his hotel back in February in Tampa, which was a pleasure. I brought my DSLR camera. We actually set up in his lobby bar. Very nice. We had a great conversation, but sure enough, I found that out recently after that something about recording it or the technical issues or something. I'm embarrassed. I don't want to talk about it. But, you know, I consider Kevin a friend of mine. So we're really glad to have him back so we can get you the content and the, you know, his insights that I took a lot away from during our first conversation. So, Kevin, thanks again for being on the show. If you wouldn't mind, just for those of you who don't know you, just to give us a background of, you know, your history in the hospitality industry.
Sure. Yeah, man, this is so much fun. We're going to do it again. Cause no one would believe us if they didn't see the proof for the first time. So, happy to be here again. Unfortunately, not in person and in a very different setting in my office than in our beautiful beautifully designed lobby bar. So my name is Kevin Scott. I've been in the hotel business since I was 16, so more than 20 years now. My family moved around quite a bit when I was a kid, and my favorite part of each move was living in the hotel. My dad worked for a very large oil company, and it basically guaranteed us 90 days in a hotel. So at the close of those 90 days, I knew our housekeepers. I knew all of the people at the front desk. I knew, you know, and then many times even made my way and got my way up to meeting the hotel manager or the general manager. So much to my dad's disappointment, I told him that I didn't want to go to West Point and that I was going to go pursue a career in hotels. And so, lo and behold, started at that time, I lived in Singapore. Again, so with my dad's job, we traveled quite a bit and relocated mostly in the United States. But towards the end of my time under his roof, we moved over to Singapore, which gave me the opportunity to work for the Four Seasons. So, yeah, I started out five star and kind of gone down a little bit, but it was a huge opportunity for me right out of the gate to learn, you know, the attention to detail and really thinking for the guest and putting yourself in their shoes. So one story that I share with my team and during orientation is my first job was a fruit delivery, like amenity delivery. I put the amenities together. And then we'll deliver them daily. And so Four Seasons being as high as a service as that is, one particular guest, a couple that was on their honeymoon, first 2 days had only ate the mango. And this is some of the best tropical fruit in Southeast Asia that you can find. So dragon fruits, mangoes, papayas, you know, this is not your apple, orange, banana that you sometimes find in other hotels. And so first 2 days was a mango. So, you know, the rules were that I was supposed to take one piece of each fruit so to keep it consistent. Well, for those out there, like going against the grain, you know, sometimes it's better to do and just ask for forgiveness later. So I said, screw it. And I put five mangoes in their amenity tray for the next 5 days. Each day, all five mangoes came back completely devoured. And so I'm like, oh man, this couple just really loves mango. Well, lo and behold, you know, they check out, 2-3 weeks goes by, and then all of a sudden the hotel manager or the general manager of the hotel comes into the room service office, which is where we put these amenities together. No, he rarely ever came into that department. It was so small, kind of just ran itself. So he asked to see who was speaking or who had done the fruit amenities or who had been doing that. Well, this was a true story. My manager at the time was not a big fan of me, because he thought I was the son of the general manager when, so I, lo and behold, my last name was the GM's first name. So his first name was Scott. He just assumed that I was his kid. So he looked at me and he was like, well, this guy's been doing them. And so to my delight, the GM comes over with a handwritten note, because this is 20 plus years ago, from the guests, basically stating that the reason why they love Four Seasons and that they chose the Four Seasons brand was that it didn't matter from the room to the service to the person who could read their preferences in the fruit that they were given each day, took the time to understand who they were as guests and who they were as people. And he looked at me and goes, how old are you? I said, well, I'm 16. He goes, you do this stuff after school? I said, yeah. Sorry, the lights just went out of my office. And he goes, well, man, he goes, kid, if you can keep up with this, you might have a career in this business. And so that gave me enough push to get and make it, so that I went to school for it, went to Michigan State, and then started my career with Starwood Hotels and Resorts after graduation out in San Francisco. Worked for the Westin brand, worked for the W brand, then had an opportunity in the 2008, 2009 recession to go help a good friend of mine open up a food truck business called Off the Grid. So anyone who's familiar with San Francisco Bay Area food trucks, Off the Grid is an awesome opportunity and great place to go grab some grub. So did that for a year, but really missed the brick and mortar that a hotel provides. Really missed the team building. Really missed the interaction of, how does housekeeping work with front office? How does engineering get the rooms and pass them over to housekeeping? And really some of those finer details and relationships. So had the opportunity to join Joie de Vivre, which at the time was commune or becoming commune hotels. So for me, it was a really good opportunity to learn independent, how to manage a hotel that doesn't have all of the brand standards, doesn't have all of the quote unquote answers, and really provided me with an opportunity to get my, my feet wet with making decisions for myself and making decisions what was right for the business, not necessarily what was just right for the people on the team or even, the guest. So did that for a year in San Francisco at a small hotel called Galleria Park, and then had an opportunity to join Provenance Hotels up in Seattle at a little place called Hotel Max. And Provenance was where I really got to spread my wings and be able to, lead a team. Worked really closely with the VP of operations and the president there to pull through, put together a story, and then pull through the story with different amenities and offerings for our guests. And lo and behold, complete truth was that I wanted to open up my own motel. My wife's an interior designer, and the idea was that we would come down here. And within a couple months, we would have a small property that we could then run ourselves. Well, as life would have it and things get tough, we weren't able to close on any single property in the first 6 months. So I gave up my Mr. Mom responsibilities and went back to work and found where I'm at today, which is the lovely Autograph Collection Hotel right across from the iconic Burns Steakhouse in Tampa. The Epicurean.
So first and foremost, I want to say your wife is a lovely interior designer. The lobby bar, the couch, and everything that we were sitting on, really, really nice. So I definitely would have loved to have seen what you would have come up with for your own property. But who knows? Maybe
Oh, there's still time. There's still time. Just because we, well, and what I will share is the unique thing about Tampa is that similar to most markets, is a lot of it is who you know. And we took a big jump moving across the country. I mean, I had a great job with Provenance, and you know, had opportunities in Portland, but my family, mom, dad, and sister were all here at the time. So, and still are. So it's just one of those things for me that allowed me to, you know, it felt right to make that choice at that time. And so I don't have any regrets. It's just one of those things that it's in the back of my mind. We're going to get there.
Definitely.
No better time to explore opportunities than the present.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, I was privileged when I visited you to be able to see your hotel, how beautiful it is, and to meet some of your lovely staff and try some great cocktails from your bar. I think it was Victoria, was it? The front desk agent, what was her name?
Vanessa. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah,
great.
She's a rock star.
Memorable
and
staff.
And actually working with us right now.
Fantastic. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah.
She deserves it too.
No, our front office team has been truly amazing, like inspirational. Being able to continue in this day, make those personal relationships with our team, make those, or with our guests. And even though we don't have anywhere near the number of offerings that we normally have, we've actually grown to three positions in TripAdvisor from 9 to 6 in Tampa hotels over the last few months. And it's all to the service that they provide to the guests, going above and beyond when, you know, there's no breakfast, or going, you know, I'll go run to the bar and, you know, sneak and see if I can't get you an extra glass of wine. But no, we, with being part of the Autograph Collection, our story is very sound. It's very robust. It's very thoughtful. And we get a lot of our DNA and, you know, the foundation of our story from the steakhouse across the street, which I mentioned before. But we like to say that we're Tampa's favorite food and wine hotel. Put it out there, set those expectations first and foremost. Not saying that if you don't like food and wine that you can't have a good time here, but if you do like those two things, and you know, then you're gonna have a really good time here. So
yeah, because I know you had mentioned at the Hotel Max, you really worked with your corporate team to try and pull through on a story. And now it seems like you've refined that skill and just kind of gone off on your own and soared with that here at the Epicurean. And even before I had even spoken a word to you and just had walked into your hotel and kind of met some of your staff and was walking around and peeking through hallways and stuff, I could feel a sense of story. And, you know, I maybe go ahead and describe your hotel, and we'll do pre-COVID, obviously, you know, describe it pre-COVID. Sure. And then tell us a little bit about what you're doing to try and maintain that story even now, especially when it's food and wine, right? Food, wine, and hotels. Some of the,
right,
all the industries that have just collapsed during this. How are you doing it and improving at that?
Well, thank you for noting the experience that you had before we had actually had an opportunity to sit down. It means a lot that, you know, had a mentor of mine first. You know, when you're here on property, you're expected to bring the property up every day, 1%, 2%. But when you're not here, the property should be performing as good, or if not better than when you are there, because you've built the team in such a way that it's a sustainable machine, if you will. So yeah, pre-COVID, well, you pull into the Porta Cochere, we have front desk hosts. We do not have bellman, doorman, concierge. We literally have one group of people called front desk hosts that really will take care of everything. So they'll meet you at your vehicle with the luggage cart. Everything will be done on an iPad, was done on an iPad. You know, pull up the guest name. Oh, how many nights are you here? So on and so forth. And the system that we worked with that overlays onto our POS or PMS is one that we would be, you're able to tell if you can actually check the guest in directly up to the room or walk the guest up to the room, or if you have to go back into the PMS system and kind of make some tweaks based upon their reservation information. So 9 out of 10 times the guest is able to be walked right up to the room. They're stopped in the lobby only to ask what flavor or varietal of wine that they like. And so we every day we have a red, a white, and a rosé. It gives guests an ultimate choice, and it makes them already start to decompress. Whether it's this is pre-COVID, right? So what mostly it was the flight that they were taking that was either late or delayed or whatnot. Traffic between Tampa International or TPA to us is not minimal, so it's not that. But decompression can finally start when we take your bags, we give you that glass of wine, and then we start going through our story and the formal, the transactional process. But we push it to be more experiential. So we talk about how the Epicurean is Tampa's favorite food and wine hotel. We highlight our four pillars, which are food, wine, art, and culture. And then we start going through the different amenities and offerings of the hotel, from the Burns Fine Wines and Spirits liquor store that's literally in between the two elevators that take you upstairs. We've got Little Midway, which is an ice cream offering. And then we've got our Spa Evangeline, which is a small, intimate day spa with some of the best treatments and offerings that you have in South Tampa. Then we have Elevage, which is our all-day dining outlet. And then Edge Rooftop Cocktail Lounge, which is the place to be seen in South Tampa on, you know, a Friday and Saturday night. So post-COVID, the Burns Fine Wines and Spirits, Little Midway, and the spa were closed from March 17th until about June 1st for the spa. Then the other two outlets are opened middle of June. So we never closed. Our owner is very proud of the hotel, our story, and lives just a few blocks away from here. He had made the decision, we're not closing, we're going to ride this thing out. We did get PPP funding. But for us, it was, we went down to, we furloughed 98% of our team, really went to a skeleton crew, 7 team members, all started working different shifts. I got back to my front desk roots and was working second shift or swing shift for about 5-6 weeks. And then we started to see business come back, to the point where we were then able to bring some people back on from furlough. And those same people that we've brought back earlier this year are the same people that we still have on team. Unfortunately, we did have to make the tough decision to permanently lay off 100 people and jobs just because the business levels haven't returned. We actually had a pretty decent June, all things considered. But with the second wave, and I don't even know if it was actually a full first wave, but I'm not an epidemiologist, to say the least. But that July 4th weekend, we just started to see things kind of taper off again. So we're starting to now see numbers improve in the outlet. So we do have our restaurant open Tuesday through Saturday in the evening, and then on Sunday for brunch. So really trying to listen to the market in and around where we live, because it is such a, you know, filled with families, filled with, you know, neighbors, if you will. It's more suburban than it is urban, for sure. So we're just trying to listen to them to make sure that what we are offering, one, is what they want. Two, it's safe. Three, that we're following all the practices and protocols set forth by the CDC, Marriott, and then now, you know, and then the local ordinances, whether it be city or county. So man, have we learned more about politics and what it takes to pivot. You know, up until about 3 weeks ago, every Friday we were either opening something or closing something. And it was just, yeah. And we'd come to Friday and we'd get the new rollout from either the governor or from our local Hillsborough like county commissioners. And we're like, all right, well, let's pivot again. So we had some real success with our rooftop, which was closed down for the first 5-7 weeks. And then we opened that back up. Luckily we were, you know, we had escaped one, kind of a zoning or issue is that the restaurant or the rooftop bar was actually zoned as a restaurant when we first opened. So we were able to open back up. We practiced social distancing. I mean, the team and I took 3 hours on a Sunday with a tape measure, 6 feet apart, and just said, okay, listen, here's where you can sit. So we've really done a lot of work as a team to ensure our guests' safety, comfort, and confidence. And one of the things that we've implemented that has probably one of the most talked about things from our guests is it's a sticker that's perforated. And so after the housekeeper cleans the room, the inspector or supervisor goes in, she or he inspects the room. And then as they depart, they put this little orange sticker, that basically says your room has been cleaned, and it shows that they're, you know, when the guest arrives, they're the first person that goes into that room since the supervisor has cleaned or done the final touches for it. And it's a little piece, very minimal cost, but the confidence and the feeling that the guest gets, it's we never could have thought that it was going to be that big of an impact to them. So much so that when you don't do it, the guest gets completely bent out of shape, which, of course, for good reason. Like, I stayed here last week and I had a sticker. My colleague checked in. She had a sticker, but I don't have a sticker now. So has my room been properly cleaned? And it's a valid question.
Well, yeah, you set that expectation right now. The standard
is
higher. Now, is that's not a Marriott mandate, is it? Because I don't know if you've really had a chance even to look into the Hilton Clean Stay program. You know, that's one of their collateral now that's mandated, is they have like that door seal, kind of like you mentioned. Yep. I think it's designed a little differently than what you described, but that's kind of mandated by Hilton. But you've taken it upon yourself at the Epicurean to implement this for your property. And it seems like you said they've been working pretty well.
It's great because truthfully, like the guests will see the lobby attendants going around and, you know, every 30 minutes to an hour, depending on how high traffic the area is, taking care of this, you know, disinfecting the tables and whatnot. But you don't see them upstairs. Like it's just, that's just not a place where you see them. Because that work is done late night. So that's where we'll go through and disinfect the door handles and all of that. But it's either early morning or late night. It's not during the day when people are out and about. So we just, you know, we know that we're doing the right things. We just want to make sure that if there's an opportunity to implement or have a process improvement, then we'll do that for the guests 100%.
And one thing that I really, you know, kind of love that what you mentioned is you said that you were working second shift front desk for the first 5 or 6 weeks of the pandemic. I think hospitality is unique and hotels are unique in the fact that, like, yeah, we're going through a pandemic, but you know, the CEO of Walmart, you know, isn't working the cashier shift.
Isn't cleaning up the aisle six, like spill. No.
Right.
I don't think
that's as the general manager, you're kind of the CEO of your hotel to mm-hmm. a certain extent, right? You're the top dog. And, you know, for example, when I came and visited you pre-pandemic, you had the opportunity to sit down with me. You were able to take some time out of your day. You weren't mandated to a specific, you know, post in the hotel. And flash forward a month maybe after you and I talked, and a few weeks, and you were sure enough working the desk. What was that like for you? Did you enjoy it? Like, how was it?
Oh man, I had a blast. I mean, come on. It brought me back to when I was like 21 years old again. I loved it. At that time we were running probably 7, 8, 9% OCC. So we didn't have a slew of guests, probably 10, 15, 20, like the most when we were, but it allowed me an opportunity to know every single one of them. I can pull up my phone right now and I can show you Mr. Robbins, who stayed with us for 5 weeks because he got stuck down here from Ohio. He's got my cell phone number. I've talked to him 3 times this week. And it's all about, you know, shooting with them, because he was going to Chicago and, you know, he was going to stay at the Gwen, which is, you know, luxury collection property. Right. So he was out and I said, well, hey, listen, man, like when you get there, you know, take some pictures, tell me what they're doing and tell me what they're not doing, like luxury collection. Like, and we chatted for 35 minutes the other day about his experience, what they're doing, the service that was different there than what he felt after he was here for 5 weeks. And I said, man, you were there for a weekend. Like, you became our family. Like, you were literally, you know.
Yeah, it's a different level of comfort, I guess, and the dynamic changes for sure when you're doing long-term stay.
But at the same time, that genuine warm welcome, that should happen every time. And you know, for some reason or other, he didn't get it at that for this particular stay. I said, well, you know, we're human, so, and we're bound to make mistakes every once in a while, but it's how you recover. And that's one of the things that I've always told my team is, you know, it's okay to screw up. Like, we're going to do it. I'm going to do it. You're going to do it. She's going to do it. It's how you recover. And the honesty that comes out of the solution is what the guest is going to see. You can't try to sugarcoat it. The guest will see through it 100%. So, going back to those 5 weeks, it was great. Now, it took a little bit to get used to the fact that I was coming into work at 1 and leaving like later than 10, but all things considered, it was a lot of fun.
I'm sure Night Auditor was happy to see you, right?
Because that's Night Auditor. Like... Night Auditor is not one of those positions that we have back yet. So it was really just our loss prevention officer, our overnight security, that was here. I went from seeing him probably once a quarter, if not once a month, to 5 days a week. So yeah, we had some great conversations. You know, again, beginning of COVID, it's like, well, okay, what diet, what lifestyle are you going to do? Like, are you cutting alcohol out? Like, you know, so it was just
Those conversations.
Correct. You know, am I going to really go at this? Like, do I think I can survive, you know, drinking every day for the next, well, I don't know how long this thing is going to be. So, it was great to make those connections with our guests. And like I said, there's a few of them that I will have relationships with long after, you know, my time here at the Epicurean is finished.
And that's just really cool. Like that's what hospitality is all about, especially when we're talking about somebody's most intimate moments during some of the most unprecedented, you know, to use that word, times that
that
anybody's really ever lived through who's alive right now for the most part. You're still perpetuating that story even with, you know, the pandemic going on. Are you still giving out the wine right now? Is that something?
Oh yeah, absolutely. The time that I worked, you know, when we were really a small skeleton crew, we were not doing the wine. We were basically like, if you were staying 2 or 3 nights with us, we'd just give you the bottle. Be like, here you go.
Right.
Cool. Because at that time, no one knew anything about the disease or the virus. No one knew anything about how it was transmitted, what was right, what wasn't right. I mean, they were like, no, here, put a piece of plexiglass in front of your, you know, in front of your face, but you don't need to wear a mask. It's cool. Obviously, as we know, that is complete flipped. And then there, you know, we know more about it every day. So, we started the wine back up, and we will escort guests upstairs if they want. We actually started ballet up probably sooner than I would have liked. But we didn't have any, we have very few guests who are adamant about parking their own car. So we'll let those few guests park their own car. For the rest of them, no problem. We'll be happy to valet for you. For me, it's trying to keep as many services and offerings open for the guests without, hold on a second. All while being fiscally responsible to our ownership and, you know, their partners. Because, you know, as the GM, not only is it the day-to-day operations, but I got to make sure that, you know, from a financial aspect, that we're doing the right thing, not only for our owners, employees, guests, stakeholders. It's all one, you know, it all comes to, it's all one cycle. So.
So then, you know, now, you know, you mentioned that you saw business levels pick back up. Now we're starting to see it dip a little bit again. Mm-hmm. What is your day-to-day like now? You know, it doesn't look like you're working the desk, right? That's over with, right? Yeah. So now what are you up to?
Yeah. So now with the furlough to permanent layoffs, I mean, we've got a very small, so our sales team was reduced by more than 50%. And we've now become somewhat of a regional cluster, whereas we had property managers and leaders at the different properties. We have a few in the Tampa Bay area, so it does make it a little easier for us. So I'm way more active with regards of sales than I was previously. I've put on a little bit of a social media hat and have been posting, whether it be Instagram stories or in our particular outlets. We do have a third party partner that does kind of our main pages for Epicurean, but for, they don't take care of the stories. They don't, and they don't do some of, they don't do our rooftop bar or our restaurant outlet. So we are in charge of our, of those areas. So getting creative with, you know, the team, the front of house and culinary teams in the kitchen, really putting together some good content with regards of, you know, new cocktails that the team's coming up with, new happy hour dishes, et cetera. So along with marketing, our team, you know, we had a couple of people take some time off from the corporate office, and that left, you know, base. And then we had another, our marketing manager, go out on maternity leave. So yeah, that left the coordinator who somehow managed for 4 weeks to hold up our entire company from a marketing effort. So it's just, it's helping her. It's doing more work on my end. You know, and instead of just passing it off to them, it's okay, well, I'm going to take two or three tries at this, see if any of them are worthwhile. And then we'll do the legwork on our end, because I know you're busy. And our company is in a kind of a unique situation. There's plenty of other hotel companies out there like this, where we have two hotels that are closed, and for different reasons. One of them being that ours is in the British Virgin Isles, and that the country has decided they are not going to open any hotels. We have three that are operating. Two of them are more beach located, and then there's the Epicurean. So those have been actually performing quite well. You know, I don't envy their teams with regards of the cycle of, you know, they'll go from 20% on Monday, Sunday through Thursday, and then they'll go up to 100% on Friday and Saturday. It's like that swing is just, I mean, you know, it's hard to schedule, and hard to keep people engaged, because it's such a rapid movement. And then we have four hotels in development. So I have, you know, I've got people in the corporate office that are looking, you know, talking about building, working with contractors, talking with the, you know, city officials with regards of zoning. And it's really this juxtapose of like, well, we have two hotels that are closed. And then we have three hotels that are open. And then we've, you know, so I have, you know, construction has not slowed down in the Tampa Bay area or Atlanta, where our other, you know, most of our new hotels are opening. So that's exciting to see. And that's the kind of that light at the end of the tunnel. We are finding some very interesting silver linings though. You know, we pre-COVID were spending anywhere between $700 and $900 on printing for menus in the restaurant. Well,
okay,
that's not happening anymore. You know, from the throwaway menus to now the QR codes. I mean, we partnered with a gentleman, weirdly enough, I always butcher his last name, but his first name is Kevin as well. He runs a company called Menus.today, builds out the QR code, and then really copies what your website for your outlet is, rebuilds it. And so it's really fluid, cool. Super easy to, and it's from an operator standpoint, I can sit there and update it right there on my phone, and it goes live immediately. So there's no, oh, hey, 86 of this, and then, you know, something gets lost in translation or not communicated, and now you're having guests upset. So it's literally the moment you hit enter, boom, everything's updated, and it's all there. So we have found some silver linings with that, and, you know, just being smarter about how you do things. Hotels have never been unclean. I mean, you always see the stuff that's on the news, you know, okay,
Inside Edition.
Yeah, know that. and I get that, right? Those are one-offs. But for property managers, GMs, and leaders that really care, you know, there's the saying, you expect what you inspect. Well, that's true. And so if you're there day in and day out, caring for your people, caring for the job, caring for the property, then you're not going to end up on an Inside Edition. At the same time, the cleaning processes that we're now talking about, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how hotels absorb these additional housekeeping costs, because we have stripped so much of kind of the story from the rooms. We had a coffee table book that was by Burns, owner, and his wife, you know, all of the local news, the magazines and print collateral, coffee maker, ironing board, glassware. I mean, really the only thing, it's to-go cups, and a few other things that are still left in the room. Outside of that, it's a bit, but we've calculated on average rooms, and this is both vacant and occupied, but on average, pre-COVID, housekeepers would take 28 minutes to clean a room. That number is now 48 minutes. So your productivity is almost cut in half. So from a budgetary standpoint, you're going to need more housekeepers once occupancy gets back up to, you know, previous levels. But it'll be it'll be interesting how, you know, we look at this as an industry, and, you know, on the back end of things, like, what does that mean for labor costs, flow through, et cetera?
Well, and also, does it stick? You know, is it, you know, hotels have been operating the same exact way for hundreds of years, right? With very little changes to the actual, you know, operation itself. And so is it like, okay, vaccine got developed, all right, you know, we're good. We can go back to forget all this stuff. But I think that that's going to really come down to what are the brands mandating, right? And how serious are the, I think it's really going to come down to the brands ultimately, what they're.
Yeah, they've got the power and they've got the voice, especially, you know, with what Chip is doing with the AHLA, American Hotel and Lodging Association. Like, you know, he's definitely doing and leveraging all of the brands and all of the hotel rooms that are behind it to say, okay, listen, we all need to be doing at the bare minimum these 10 things. And if you want to do more than that, then a lot of that is up to the owner and operator, but these 10 things have to be experienced and be consistent across the board for our industry to be successful and for us to get the confidence, earn the confidence back from the traveler.
Yeah, because I think right now, and I think similar to the sentiment you said, Jan Freitag from Star said, like, masks and sanitation are the hotel industry's payroll protection loan sort of thing. Like, that's how we can get our teams back. That's how we can get our occupancy up. And I certainly agree. And then I guess it just comes down to, what is it post-coronavirus? How does that stick, and kind of where do we end up?
It's funny you asked that. My kids asked me the other, I don't know, 2 weeks ago as we're driving to summer camp, which, that has, if that gives any indication of what school will be like in the future, wow. But, they're temperature checked before they get in. They got the mask on. They ask them how are you feeling? Everything cool? And they're asking 6 and 8 year olds. I think that they asked, they said, "Dad, Daddy, are we ever not going to wear masks again?"
Good question.
And spending so much time in Asia growing up, or at least, two, three very formative years, 16 through 19, like masks have been in Asia for decades now. I mean, completely different reason, smog and, that air cleanliness and quality, but they're there. People wear them every day. And
But isn't it
there's
also for them as like a courtesy, like if they're like, oh, I'm feeling a little sniffly today, let me just throw on a mask. So I'm just, don't want to just as a courtesy, right? Like it's almost more casual for them than, and it's become indoctrinated as a cultural and societal norm, I guess.
Correct. So with everything, time will tell, but the amount of companies that have pivoted to now offering these, good looking, stylistic masks, I think I don't see that going away anytime. If you're in the privacy of your own home and you're around friends that you trust, absolutely. But if I'm walking into my own hotel, or if a guest is walking into my hotel, I expect that we're both going to do the right thing and play the role and play the part for the foreseeable future. It's tough.
Yeah, I think like it's, now it's become like, okay, wallet, phone, keys, mask,
Mask.
when you leave the
Yep.
house. And at least for me personally, and I think a lot of other people, it might take a while to be comfortable with going into a crowded store and not wearing one.
Oh, agreed. Absolutely.
Because I'm, the psychological impact of living through a pandemic, that'll stick with you. And I think for maybe at least a generation or two, maybe that'll be the impact of it. But I guess, like you said, time will tell and we'll kind of see what the future holds for hotels and I guess for everybody else. Now, I know you got to get back to to work here, so we'll go ahead and wrap up. I do want to let everybody know that Kevin Scott is putting out some great content on LinkedIn, and everybody should definitely connect with him. So we'll put Kevin's LinkedIn information in the program notes for the podcast. And Kevin, before we wrap up, is there anything else you want to say? Anything else you want to talk about? Any last minute thoughts?
No, I mean, I gotta say thank you to you and Greg for taking the time to have me on today's podcast. This is my first, so I had an awesome time. You guys are great. But for everyone out there, we're in this together. Keep your head up. I mean, I'd be lying to say that every day since March 17th has been bright, shiny, and glorious. It's not. But really, take the time to rely on the people that you trust. Whether that be your team, whether that be your family, whether that be your partner, it's okay to be vulnerable during these times. We're only gonna become stronger by getting through this, and we need each and every one of you to do it.
Really, really well said. Kevin, thank you so much again for being on the show. And I'll definitely see you next time I'm in Tampa to see my parents, man. I'll definitely let you know.
Absolutely, buddy. All the best. Be well. Talk
Thank
soon.
you so much. We'll see you.
Thank you.